Thank you, Greg. We're here backstage with James Ennis. Welcome back to Philadelphia.
Thank you. Great pleasure to be here.
This particular concerto was written when Prokofiev was about to go back to Moscow after being away for a long time, and it was written in various places. Where does it fit in your repertoire in terms of what's distinctive about it? How is it different from his other works?
Well, speaking personally, it's a piece I've known for a long time. It's a piece I learned as a student, and it's actually a piece I played at some, you know, violin competitions when I was a teenager. So it's been a piece that has been kind of actively in my repertoire for over 20 years. It's a piece I love very, very much. In terms of, you know, within Prokofiev's own output, you can definitely recognize different styles, different periods in his music if you know a lot of his music. And the first concerto and the second concerto are very, very different. The second concerto, it has a smallish orchestra, as you've heard. And there's something, particularly in the first two movements, there's almost a simplicity to it. It's almost spare at times, whereas the first concerto is very sort of magical and it's full of color and variety. And this is a piece that is, I think, very intensely emotional, but it's like a return to simplicity, which I know is something that apparently he was working towards at this stage in his career. You know, he had gone through the period of being the enfant terrible and being the, you know, sort of the age of steel and iron and all those things, and was looking for a new simplicity in his music. And I think that you find in this piece some foreshadowing of his, possibly his greatest masterpiece, Romeo and Juliet, which followed not that long afterwards.
Well, when you say simplicity, do you mean a kind of accessibility?
Yeah, I guess I would say there's a certain accessibility and there's a certain purity to the writing. I mean, it's certainly not simple for the violinist to play, nor for the orchestra. I mean, it's like most of what he wrote, it's extremely technically challenging. But he creates an incredible world with no superfluous notes, you know, or effects. It in that sense is very pure, I think. And, you know, the second movement, which is just so beautiful, the main melodic parts of that movement, he uses very, very little material to create this incredible world. Whereas, you know, maybe earlier in his career, to create that same sort of effect, he would have been much more lush and used many more instruments, for example.
And there's such variety with the lyricism in the second movement, and then the third movement is so lively and rhythmic.
Yeah, absolutely. The third movement has kind of an unmistakable kind of Spanish flair to it. Hard to know exactly where that came from. I mean, during this period in his career, he was traveling around a very great deal. You know, he was soaking up all kinds of influences. But yeah, the castanets, I know, always surprise people when they hear them for the first time.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.